Good to see you today. Why don't we turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 16? I'll be sharing a parable today. Luke 16. Now he was also saying to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and this manager was reported to him as squandering his possessions. And he called him and said to him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an accounting of your management, for you can no longer be manager.' The manager said to himself, 'What shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I am not strong enough to dig. I am too ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do, so that when I am removed from the management, people will welcome me into their homes.' And he summoned each one of his master's debtors, and he began saying to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said to him, 'Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, 'And how much do you owe?' And he said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and write 80. And his master praised the unrighteous manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the sons of this age are more shrewd in relation to their own kind than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by the means of the wealth of unrighteousness, so that when it fails, they will receive you into their eternal dwellings. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is righteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much." Amen. So, just to share, like parables, I know that Jesus uses a lot of parables in the Bible to try to explain his teachings and whatnot. And very honestly, sometimes I find that personally I have trouble trying to understand or to get the meaning behind these parables. I remember a couple years back, Pastor Sam was leading this Bible study once, and he was doing the parable of the 10 talents. He was doing the one about the one, the two, and the five, and whatnot. And I remember I sat there at Bible study, and I was thinking, what's wrong with the guy who had one talent? Because my thing was, I was reading it, and then as soon as I read the fact that he said, he was afraid, so he hit it on the ground, I was thinking, he's like a good guy. He really loves his master. He doesn't want to lose it, so he cares about him. And then, you hear about the master coming to him and calling him evil and wicked. And so I was like, okay, I totally misread this parable. I totally did not get it. And then on the cab ride home, I was like, P-Sam, I was riding a cab with P-Sam. I said, you got to just tell me exactly what this parable means, because I have no idea what's going on. And so he explained it, and I recognize that I'm quite weak when it comes to parables. But I have to say, Luke chapter 16 is by far the most difficult parable I've ever come across. It's one of those parables when you read it and then you're like, oh, okay. And you just keep reading the rest of it and try to make sense of it. Because here's a story, okay? This is what the story is. There is a master, right? He calls his manager because he found out that the manager was kind of not doing a good job. He was squandering his possessions, whatnot, right? He comes to the manager and he says, look, I know what you're doing. And so what I want you to do is go and find all your accounting, give me a record of all the accounting that you've done, and you're done. You're out. You're fired. And so the manager is thinking to himself, crap, what am I going to do? He knows that now I didn't do a good, he knows what I've been doing, right? And I don't have any other skill sets to go out and find another job. I'm too proud to beg for money, right? And so he comes up with this idea, which is like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do something so that at least when I get fired, I'll at least have somebody who will accept me into their homes and they'll give me some money or whatever. And so he goes off and then he asks people who owes money to his master and says, how much do you owe? 100 bucks, whatever. He says, okay, just cut it in half and give it to him, right? So he's trying to earn favor from these people by kind of screwing his master again, right? That's the gist of the story. And so when you read that, you're like, wow, this guy's a real bad guy. And then you read the response of the master, and it says the master was pleased with this guy. And so I'm thinking, what? Because why? I mean, and you have to understand that obviously Jesus in his parables, he's always talking about, he's alluding to God, he's alluding to his people. So, you understand that, okay, God's probably the master, and he's talking about me as the manager. And I'm like, So I don't understand. So if I'm to go out and to screw him over and I will be blessed for doing that, right? And then so I'm like, that makes no sense at all. And so I was struggling for a while, and I was reading, and I was trying to pray to God, and I said, okay, well, if this is the passage you want me to speak on, you gotta give me something to speak, because this is not the most clear parable. So this is what I want to share with you about this parable, okay? The story in itself, if we read into the story too much ourselves, we're going to lose the meaning of it. That's just the basic bottom line. And the truth is, yes, God is the master of the story, and we are the manager of that story. And the purpose behind this parable, what Jesus is trying to teach, is, first of all, it's not to condone the actions of what the manager did, right? What the manager did was not right. It was selfish. He did that. And if you look at verse 8, Jesus, he says, sorry, and his master praised the unrighteous manager. Right, so he makes it very clear that his actions were not just, his actions were not good, right? So that was the first important point. And the second point that you have to get is the fact that the reason why the master praised the manager was because, and this is the second part of verse 8, it's because he said he had acted shrewdly, right? So what you have to understand is, the manager, in the situation that he was in, he came to this realization that, you know, he came to awareness of what the kind of situation he was going to be in. That he was like, oh crap, I'm going to lose my job, I'm going to be out in the streets and whatnot. And it's how he responded to it, which was very shrewd, right? He went out there, he did what he could to make sure that he was going to be able to be taken care of later. And that act is what was being praised, right? What was being praised was the fact that this manager knew he did wrong. He recognized the seriousness, the gravity of the situation, and then he acted on it, right? And he took it seriously, and then he did whatever he could. So in that sense, right, what God is trying to teach us is saying, hey, you guys too, you guys need to understand the situation that you guys are in now, right? You guys are here for a different purpose. And it's for you guys to be acting shrewdly once you understand the gravity and the seriousness of your faith, right? And this is what I kind of wanted to touch on, because the reality is, and this is in verse, the last part of 8, verse 8, it says, the sons of this age are more shrewd in relation, what does it say? In relation to their own kind than the sons of light. And that's, to be honest, the reality that we see a lot here, right? I mean, we tend to be more shrewd. We tend to be much more quick to respond, quick to be serious in regards to situations of this world than it really is with God, right? Especially in the workplace, right? I mean, we work late hours. We think it's okay. We work late hours. We're like, oh, it's okay because I know I'm gonna, you know, I'm doing it. I'm gonna get a good reward. I'm gonna prosper and everything. And we're so willing to make that kind of sacrifice. And yet, when it comes to the things of God, we're like, oh, we have to stay behind for prayer. I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of a little type of tired. I just want to go home. Or, for example, it's like worship. It's on Sunday worship, and then we're like, it's okay. We find that it's okay to come to worship late. But yet, if you had like a seminar with somebody, like some speaker that you're really big and fond of, there's no way you would come to that seminar late. You'd come early, if anything, because you want to grab a seat. You want to be there when he's speaking, and you want to make sure you don't miss anything. And yet, when it comes to like worship, we're like, I'll just come in halfway. It's okay. It's not a big deal. Or like a business trip, we get excited. We're like, oh, you know, like company wants to send me on a business trip. Sure, I'll go, right? Company will take care of me. That's fine. But then when it comes to like a missions trip, it's like, ooh, I don't know, God, I got these days I want to keep for my other holiday. And, you know, it's these things, I don't know if I really want to go. I don't know if I want to use my finances in that way and whatnot. So God really, we have to recognize that God doesn't want us to be like that. God doesn't want us to be so, let's say, fair or so convenient. But God wants us to be like this manager guy, right? Recognizing the, you know, circumstances that you guys are in. Recognizing the purposes that you guys are here for, right? And then learning to act in response and learning to act, right, quickly to those situations. Okay, I know it's a little bit of a challenging thing to say so early in the morning, but I really wanted to challenge you guys, right? Like in everything that you do, right? Make your life count. Don't worry so much about the, you know, petty things in life, right? Don't worry so much about those things of the world. And instead, when it comes to the things of God, be quick to respond and be quick to action and take those things really seriously. And then the last thing that I want to just share was on verse 10. And verse 10, it says, "He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much." And this is just something that I was just kind of personally reflecting on. I was actually really thinking about, okay, what does it really mean to be faithful in the little things? And I think this is something that I learned while we were preparing ourselves to go to Cambodia on missions trip. For the first time, we were asked as a missions trip to send out a support letter, not just for, you know, finances of what we're going to do, but to ask for finances of our own trip and for our own, like, costs, like flights and hotels and things like that. And, you know, personally, it was a little bit challenging because I've never done it before. I've never asked people, hey, can you pay for me to go or anything like that? But then we recognize as a team, of course, that, you know, God calls his people. He will, you know, he will provide for those people to go. Anyway, so I sent out that email, and then the response was quite overwhelming. Like, people were very supportive. People were like, yeah, I'll pray for you, or, you know, here, I've, you know, sent you guys money. And so I was incredibly blessed in that way, but the revelation that I had was that, you see, my the stance that I had before I was going to Cambodia was like, hey, God, you know, we're going to Cambodia. You know, don't worry about the things like the flight and the hotel and things like that. I got it covered. I can take care of it. I'm more than happy to pay for it. You just take care of the really big things, right? When, you know, when you need to show up and when you need to minister to these girls and you need to bring healing, that's where I need you. So don't worry about the little things because I'll take care of that. You go and you do the big things and you just come, right? But then, you know, God moved in this way too. And what I recognized is that God was saying, hey, man, you know, even in the small things, even in the things with, like, money, you know, your flights and stuff, when I want to, you know, say that I'm, you know, supporting you guys, when I'm calling you to do these things, he's going to take care of everything, even in the smallest things. And what I realized is that God wants to get involved in those areas as well, right? He wants to show himself not just faithful when we need him for the big things, but he wants to show us that he's faithful even in the little things when we think we can take care of it ourselves. And so when I was thinking about, okay, so how do we, what does it really mean then for us when we say let's be faithful in the small things? You know, I wonder if it's not just, you know, getting it from God or getting the little things from God and then just doing it, working on our own and trying to do a good job with it and just taking care of it ourselves. But I wonder if even being faithful in the small things means learning how to partner with God, learning how to trust in God and those things and stuff. And to a certain extent, that kind of makes sense because once you start learning how to trust in God in the small things which you think you can take care of and it's no big deal, then the measure of your faith immediately increases so that when big things are there, you already have that faith that God's going to come through. And so anyways, that's just one thing that I wanted to share with you guys today. So, you know, all in all, again, I want to challenge you guys, right? Wherever you are, recognize where you're at right now, right? You are called here for a purpose. Walk in that purpose today. Do not, you know, do not be shrewd like the people in the world who, like, you know, run for things like prosperity and for fame and for money and things like that. But instead, recognize what's the things of God's, what the things of God are, and then accomplish those things. And at the same time, learn to be faithful to God in the small things. Learn to partner with him, asking him to join you in what he's doing. Learn to trust him in those areas as well. Okay? So let's close our eyes. And as Jeff prepares to lead us in worship, let's just spend some time in reflection. And, you know, as we're talking about this passage, are there areas Or let's just take it to a point. Are you taking your faith seriously? Right? Are you recognizing the gravity of the situations that you are in now? And are you being like this manager and being shrewd enough, being smart enough to act on it and doing what you can to bring that to fruition? And if not, let's just ask God to help us, you know? Sometimes it's difficult because we lift up these things like money and prosperity. And sometimes we even lift these things up and we try to say that this is what God wants, you know? Like, this is what God's asked us to accomplish, right? God calls me to ministry, which means He wants me to prosper and to be, you know, promoted and everything. So you go for that. But, you know, I'm not sure if that's really the case, you know? So let's just take some time just to reflect. And then Jeff will lead us in some songs.
Lead me on, and I will run after you.
why don't we turn to our community-focused prayers for today? Let's pray for those members who are dealing with cancer, who are going through chemo, or who are looking for a transplant. Let's just pray for God's healing to come upon them. Let's also lift up those people who are sick, but also are in need of salvation. Let's pray that not only would God touch them, but that they would be surrounded by people, and they will be in a place where they will be able to hear the word of God, so that as they hear that they will be able to believe, and they'll be able to confess and with their hearts that He is Lord. Let's pray for other members of the body and friends who are dealing with infirmities. Let's also pray for those who are looking for jobs. Let's pray that God would really be Jehovah Jireh and provide for them. Let's turn to our prayer focus for today as well. Let's, for our missions focus, let's lift up Grace and Ashley, who are SBSend missionaries in Bloom. Let's just pray for, you know, we shared the testimony last Sunday, but let's just continually pray for Cambodia. Let's pray for the organization. Let's pray for the leaders and the girls there. Let's also pray for Pastor O and his ministry vision to reality. He shared a little bit about the works that he's done in Cambodia. And let's just continually pray that he would be a man to hear from the Lord, and if we want to continually action and to be able to step in faith in what God's calling him to do. And let's also lift up to you Pastor Tang, the pastor at New Life Churches, where our worship team partners with for the worship conference every year. Let's first pray that he would just continually have a heart for his people, and that he would have a heart just to see his people grow and to be a light into that city. So let's up to you, let's lift up Cambodia. Let's also pray for the board, the leadership at Solomon's Porch. Let's lift up Pastor Sam, Lisa, for Hyge, for Janie, myself, Kiwan, Brian, and for Mon. Let's just pray that as a board, we would learn to, you know, download what God is asking us, the vision that God has for this church, not our own, and that we wouldn't allow our own self-agendas, our own desires, get in the way of God, what God wants to do. Please also pray that we would be a team of faith, that we wouldn't be moved by finances, we wouldn't be moved by the circumstances that we see, but we, again, are completely faithful in just following a vision. Let's pray for the board. This left also the men and women's ministries. Let's pray that, you know, that what they've started a couple of months back with the retreat and everything would not be just something that fizzles out, but that this would be really the start of something that grows into a full-fledged backbone of what we have here at Solomon's Porch. Let's just pray that people would be devoted and committed to these ministries, that they'd be wanting to be engaged, and they want to be involved, and that this would be a platform where, you know, men and women can really come together and to be able to discuss and to learn how to be iron sharpening each other, iron sharpening iron. And this would be a place where they would know that their issues, that they don't have to feel like they're the only ones who have issues, but as they come together, they're able to see that there's a supporting, loving body that's there to care for them, to help them. And yeah, let's just really pray for these ministries. Let's lift up SP 2.0, our new building. I mean, we always should need to remember that this is just a transitional spot for this church, and we know that God has bigger plans for us and a bigger venue for us where we can really be a light to the community here in Hong Kong. Let's also pray for the donor. There was a prophetic word given over the church that there would be a donor who would come and be a significant, who would play a significant part in terms of the funding piece of this puzzle. But I mean, rather than to think like it's a cop-out answer, let's just, you know, pray in faith that, you know, this is what God wants, then we should be more faithful and believing that it will come to pass. So let's pray for this too. Finally, let's pray for the summer Bible study that's going on tonight. Let's pray that the word would be just so appropriate, it would be received by the people, that it would be easy to understand, and that it would bring revelations that would help them to recognize, you know, how to better walk together with God. So Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the word. And I just pray, God, Father, for every single of my brothers and sisters here, that they would recognize, God, that you called them here for a bigger purpose than, you know, what the world says we're here for. God, you know, our life is so much more than just earning a get out of jail free card and just living the rest of our life how we want to. But God, you call us to live a life much more fulfilling than that. And so I just pray, Holy Spirit, that God, that you would help to let them see that really, truly, like the song says, that the things of the world are so empty when it compares to the, you know, compares to the fact of knowing you. And so I just pray, God, Father, would you move powerfully in their lives and show them, Lord, God, Father, show them the importance, the seriousness, the gravity of the circumstances that they are in, and encourage them, Lord God, to walk, to obey, and to listen to you, Holy Spirit. We pray, God, Father, even in the small things, Lord God, small steps, as they take small steps, God, would you show yourself to be faithful to them as well, Lord God, being the one to lead them throughout this time. Lord Jesus, I pray you would also bless them as they go about their day, Lord, many of them as they go to work or as they go home, Lord God, Father. I pray you would help them to hear, Father, from you as they have to make decisions, have to make choices throughout the day. Let them make those choices together with you, Lord, not out of their own desires. And I pray, God, Father, give them so much favor with the people that they meet, meetings that they have, things that they have to accomplish, work they have to complete on time. God, I pray you give them the diligence, the supernatural abilities to be able to be incredible ministers in the workplace, God. Open up opportunities for them to be able to speak into the lives that they meet on the street as well. And overall, Lord God, let them be a blessing to you as well. We thank you, Lord God, Father. We thank you for this time. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you.